have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Come on, everybody, give God a praise in the temple. Tonight we have a prayer. You know you need a word from the Lord. Lift your hands in his atmosphere and say, Lord, speak to me. Come on, fellowship, help me say, Lord, give us a word. Give us a word. World's in trouble, Lord. Give us a word. Our families are in trouble, Lord. Give us a word. We surrender ourselves unto you. We say all we need. Just one word.
Just one word.
Won't you join in with the worship, everybody? Lift your hands and say, Lord, give us a word. Come on, let's sing. Give us a word. God, our lives are going to be better when you speak to us. Hallelujah. Children are coming home when you speak to us. Come on, you know it by now. Come on, say all we need. Come on, say it. Say it till you believe it. Come on, just lean on them and say all we need. Just one word. What the Lord promised that you would. We know things are getting better for you. Things are getting better for me. Somebody just wave back at me and say, I know that's right. I know that's right. You promised you would. You got it by now. Come on, lift your hands and say all. Just one word. Grab your neighbor by the hand and say, things are getting better. Things are getting better. Things are getting better. Because
all we need.
Just one word. Come on, stand up on your feet. I need about three more people to stand up on your feet and help me say, you promised you would. Point up to heaven with a sign of victory and say, you promised you would heal my land.
You would heal our land.
Somebody's singing it like you really believe it. Come on, say, you promised you would. Look at your neighbor and say, I see things are getting better for you. Come on, say, all I need is just one word. Just one word. Doesn't matter what the doctor says. Doesn't matter what the lawyer says. But all I need is just one word.
All I need.
Just one word.
How you doing, everybody? I'm Nina Taylor. Here's this week's gospel news. He was born on November 29, 1978, in Richmond, Texas. He was raised in church where his dad was pastor, and he was playing the drums by the age of 5. James Fortune graduated from Kemper High School in Sugar Land, Texas, then attended Cal State Northridge, and became the choir director at Dimension Church in Houston. James Fortune established himself with a prolific run that included 2004's You Survived, 2007's The Transformation, 2010's Encore, and 2012's Identity and Grace Gift. Identity was nominated for a Grammy in the category of Best Gospel Album, while its hit single, Hold On, featuring Fred Hammond and Monica, was a Best Gospel Song nominee. His first live album, the two-disc Live Through It, appeared in early 2014. By the end of the decade, Fortune issued Dear Future Me and Dream Again, live from Rock City, and 2 years later, My Life, highlighted by the rousing song, Never Let Me Down. To describe Nia Allen's music is to describe the sound of pure, passionate worship. Having grown up in a musical family, she was constantly surrounded by music. She was often called to sing at church where her grandfather was pastor. She eventually decided to further her education by attending Berklee College of Music in Boston. She earned a bachelor's degree in music education. She has traveled and sang background for singer Nicole C. Mullen and Nicole Binion, as well as Calvin Noel. She's been a guest artist on TBN's Praise the Lord program with artists such as Martha Munizzi, Mary Alessi, and the Katinas. She went on to become a featured solo artist on CC Winans Presents Pure Worship, where she sang an original song entitled I Love You More Each Day. June is Black Music Month. Let's remember our pioneers of gospel music. Charles Albert Tinsley, born July 7, 1851 in Berlin, Maryland. He passed on July 26, 1933 in Philadelphia. Thomas Dorsey was the composer of Precious Lord and There Will Be Peace in the Valley, who is known as the father of gospel music. But if that's true, then Charles Albert Tinsley is the grandfather of gospel music, for it was Tinsley who virtually invented the style of a generation before Dorsey began composing, and it was Dorsey's hearing of Tinsley's hymns at an annual meeting of the National Baptist Convention in Philadelphia that led Dorsey to begin writing religious music. Dorsey had previously been a successful jazz and blues musician who often made use of the bawdy and brash lyrics, while Dorsey went on to successfully blend the sacred spirituals and hymns with the secular style of blues and jazz, he always acknowledged the debt he owed to Tinsley. Tinsley was born 14 years before the end of the American Civil War, the son of slave parents. By the age of 5, both of his parents had passed away. By the age of 17, he had taught himself how to read. He moved to Philadelphia and found employment as a janitor for the Calvary Methodist Episcopal Church. He took night classes and later correspondence courses from Boston University, eventually being ordained in the Methodist ministry, serving appointments in South Wilmington, Odessa, Ezion, Wilmington, Delaware, and eventually being ordained a Methodist minister. In 1902, Tinsley was appointed pastor of the Calvary Methodist Church. The church had employed him for 30 years earlier as a janitor. This was to be his position until his death in 1933. During his appointment at Calvary, the church experienced great growth in numbers and ministry, growing to over 7,000 members that included African Americans, Europeans, Jews, and Hispanics. Upon building a new church building, the congregation changed its name over to Tinsley's Protest to the Tinsley Temple Methodist Church. Here's this week's Top 10 Gospel Songs. Number 10, Kiara Sheard featuring Pastor Mike Jr. with Miracles. 9, The Better Benediction, P.J. Morton. 8, I Still Have You, Smokey Norfolk. 7, Walk on Water, Lena Bird Miles. 6, Jesus featuring Leandria Johnson from Tim Bowman Jr. 5, Feel All Right, Blessed, Erica Campbell. 4, Daily Bread, Otis Kemp. 3, Tent Revival, Forward City. 2, Nothing Else Matters, Brent Jones. And number 1, for the second week in a row, The Moment from Tasha Cobbs-Leonard. Well, that's your gospel news for this week. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Thank you. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
Thank you. Money and we go to write a check, we write the check. Why? Because the money's already been deposited. We're waiting for God to do something for us, and at the same time, we're not making a deposit. So if you're not going to make a deposit of praise, what are you looking for? I'm serious. Think about it. If we're not going to deposit praise, what do we expect to get out of a service? Don't wait for the pastor to get you all jacked up. I don't fit that description. Anyway, we bless the Lord for his loving kindness, for his tender mercies. I want to say thank you first and foremost to Brother Leonard. Done the best that he could to make this thing work. I know some of you on social media, you only saw one screen or two screens or three screens, but give us a minute. We're almost there. Small little kinks we're going to work out in. When that time comes, oh well, we'll leave that alone. Nonetheless, we thank God for this opportunity and chance. We're not going to be before you long. I do believe that the Lord has a word for the people today. And whether it's in here in the sanctuary or those of you watching by social media, I sat down last night and started trying to write, of course, something else. It never works out. So I said, okay, Lord, whatever you want to do, that's what we're going to do. Well, this morning the Lord told me what he wanted to do. And so we're going to go, and you've heard the scriptures. I'm going to use two different scriptures to get to a main point today. You heard out of Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 from the Amplified Classic Version. Verse 30 says, "And I sought a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." And then over to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 from the same Amplified Classic Version. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." For a subject today, and for just a little while, and I pray, God, that you will hear the heart of the message. You know, try not to get too wrapped, tied, and tangled in the speaker, which I don't think any of you will anyway. Here's our subject. There's a hole in the wall. Who's willing to fix it? There's a hole in the wall. I'm sorry. Who's willing to help fix it? Now, I do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. First of all, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your loving kindness, for your tender mercies. Father God, as always, we recognize that this is your word. These are your people. And God, we ask that you administer to your people through this word. Help your people to see what it is that's on your mind and what it is that you're trying to convey to us, Lord. We ask that you would arrest their attention, bring them in from the north, south, east, and west, whatever is on our minds, God. Let it be set aside just long enough that we will hear what thus saith thee in thy word. God, reduce the angels of the Lord to go up and down and to and fro throughout the entire sanctuary. Arrest the attention of your people. God, we bind every disturbing, distractive, disruptive spirit, anything that will cause our people to become distracted, anything that will cause us to take our attention off of what it is that you're trying to convey to us. Lord God, we loose your spirit in this place as it's already here, already present. But we give you even more, Father God. We release even more. I decrease that you may increase. Have this thine own way. Do that which you need to do. Share that which needs to be shared. God, I place myself into your hands. Whatever you have to do, whatever you need to do, make it happen because I'm here. Here am I, Lord. You've already sent me. And now it's time to go in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a hole in the wall. Who's willing to fix it? Now, I know over the last weeks, months, years, and this is nothing new, so I'm going to say it. For those of you in the sanctuary, I'm actually recording from our prayer line because there are some who are not able to get to us and they want to go back and listen on the prayer line, the message that came forth. So the headset is specifically for those individuals who are on the prayer line. That way you can say, why is he wearing his headset today? Well, I'm trying to accommodate all I can. So stay with the brother for a few minutes. Just try to pay attention to the word. We found in the past few months that we've heard about mass shootings, whether it was in schools, grocery stores, hotels, parks, and even in large gatherings, and whether it was a conference that somebody was at or at a concert. And this unfortunate myriad of tragic events has caused me to wonder in my mind, what has happened to the one central entity that surrounds all this pain and the senseless killings and the hurting of one another? And today I'm really talking about the family. There seems to be a disconnect in the base structure of the family as we once knew it. I found out over the days, weeks, months, and years that among the worst tragedies of this day and this era in which we live in and in the day that we have to work in, our day is there's a progressive demise of the family as it has been traditionally known from days gone by. Folks were living in an era where it seems like sexual sin is exalted in so many various forms. Marital infidelity apparently seems to be running rampant. We're dealing with homosexuality, lesbianism, transgender, and bisexual lifestyles that are becoming an accepted lifestyle while Christianity in this cruel, heartless world is looked upon by some as a type of cult-like activity. And to add to the downslide of the family in and of itself is the fact that abortion seems to be at an all-time high. While it seems from the 60s there was a women's movement made, now there's a New Age Women's Liberation Group that's developing and disguising itself under the mask of fourth wave feminism. It's a movement that was characterized and it's characterized by its focus on the empowerment of women and gender equality, which there's nothing wrong with that. But if you were to look a little closer, you'd see that their subliminal hidden agenda is to undermine the male role in society, thus creating the independent woman whose mantra has become, for some, I can do anything a man can do, only better. They've made a competition out of it. And I gotta help you understand something, that if you go back to the book of Genesis, after Adam and Eve had sinned, God told Adam and Eve what was going to happen. He told them first and foremost that the serpent would bruise his heel, but he would bruise the head of the serpent. But he turned around and said to Eve that her desire would be to her husband. That word desire in the Hebrew means she will seek to dominate and or control. In other words, be the boss. And listen, it's not that every woman is doing this. It's just that God's word is being fulfilled. We have to understand that in this modern era, we can see that delinquency in the school systems has become an acceptable practice, and children are literally being passed on to the next grade despite their academic discrepancies in their meeting the criteria that would be sufficient to legitimize their progress, just to make room for the incoming group, only to repeat the process over and over and over again. Now, please don't get me wrong. There are hundreds and even thousands who are going to school and leaving schools with degrees, but there are hundreds and even thousands that are either succumbing to the physical or economical prison systems, quitting because they made up in their minds that it's just too difficult. Some are dropping out of school because of pregnancy or making themselves available to the sexual revolution through street prostitution, pole dancing, and collecting money in what they call gentlemen's clubs, or delving into the porn industry in some form or fashion. And whether it's actual participation for pay or the purchasing of pornographic material, the fabric of the family is being torn at the seam. And some of us watch our young men and our young women struggle to find their identity. We see them being mugged by materialism, single moms struggling to raise their sons and daughters in what appears to be a fatherless environment, having to play the role of both mother and father, leaving them to miss out on an affirmation that can only literally come from the father or that male figure, and for the son, the opportunity to learn from his father what it means to be a man seems to be missing. They're often gutted of any self-worth because of the greed of other people who have the potential to help them. They're being mentally and physically raped by a system that has literally been set up to cause them to fail. Some have been molested by family members, others by racism, others by discriminatory practices, and some have turned to drugs to drown out their deep-seated hurt and pain. Some are chasing the crack pipe before they ever get a chance to come to know who Jesus is. Some are joining gangs looking for love in all the wrong places and acceptance in other places that they need not look before they experience what real love is and coming to know who God is. There are some who are know more about the history of hip-hop than they do about holiness. Some are getting their hands on pistols before they learn to put their hands together and fold them in prayer. And there are some who are on their way, even as we speak, to jail before they can find their way to Jesus. And the question is, on this given day, where are the men? Where are those who are called by God? Where is the head of the family? Where is the one that's been called alongside to help? As you look in the book of Ezekiel chapter 22, you'll understand that in this particular chapter, God takes the time to reveal to his street preacher, who's been assigned the unenviable task of delivering by way of inspiration his message to the exiled Jewish nation in Babylonian captivity. This fearless street preacher comes to the Jewish nation bearing a long list of sins that have been committed and practiced by them as a way of life. And collectively, he turns around and begins to lay the list out. It was a list that left no stone unturned, a list that brought 17 different indictments against the nation of Israel, a list that started at the very top with the evil doings of leadership, governmental as well as spiritual, and the exposure of their underhanded deeds. And it came all the way down to the least of them. Now, I want to make note of the fact that God referred to Jerusalem in verse 2 of chapter 22 literally as the bloody city. And that's because during this time, even under Babylonian captivity, murder in its various forms had become unprecedented. The government, the priests, the prophets, as well as the people in general were now at the point of severe judgment due to sinful acts of idolatry, oppressing widows and orphans. They were forcing immigrants as well as visitors to literally pay for protection. The officials in Jerusalem were accepting bribes and condemning innocent people who, by the way, happened to already be in jail. They were being sentenced to death so that they could turn around and lose their property to these little vicious individuals. They were accusing prisoners of crimes they didn't commit, and they would have them killed instantly or whatever, however their execution took place. And while they themselves secretly went and committed adulterous acts, which included having sexual intercourse with menstruating women, which according to Jewish law, if you go back and read, was an abominable act all by itself and was actually punishable by death. You can look that up in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 18. Now, these judges had no respect for God. They had no respect for humans who were made in God's image, yet they supposed or pretended to be honest people who upheld the law of the Lord. Talking about the priests and the prophets, they were guilty of such sins as incest and racketeering, extortion, despising and utterly ignoring the Sabbath, forgetting about God and haphazardly performing priestly duties. If you looked in verse 25 of this same 22nd chapter, it says there was a conspiracy amongst her prophets. They plotted against the people like a lion seeking its prey. They stalked weak, helpless, feeble, non-resistant, easy to take down people, and would often prophesy or testify in order to extort material wealth. Through their lies and deceit, they would devour and literally ruin multiple lives, pretending to make known the mind of God of these individuals. They deliberately gave many people a false sense of hope, peace, and assurance. Now, folks, if that don't sound like something we're dealing with in this day and age, and something we have to work around in this day and age, we got folks that say they don't want to come back to church because the pastor is crooked, he's taking the church's money, and he's buying cars and things. They see televangelists on television with their million-dollar homes and their mega churches. Well, I want to let you know something. It is not for you to judge what's going on there, because some of those so-called pastors are actually entrepreneurs, and they've learned how to work with certain things, and they made certain things happen. Here's the problem right here. What is your part in this whole thing? There's a hole in the wall. The actual fabric of the family is being ripped at the seams. It seems like fathers are stepping back and allowing the mothers to do everything. And it seems like the mothers have all kinds of stress and strain on them. Mothers seem to be doing way more now. They're business women. They work all day and then have to come home and take care of children. Children, there's a hole in the wall. Who's willing to fix it? We got to bring back the balance of the family. And the only way you're going to be able to bring back the balance of the family is to put God first. Apostle Paul talks about the perilous times that we're looking at in this day and age in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And he reminded us that there was a time coming when men, and when it says men, it talks about women too, would be lovers of their own selves, covetous, proud, boastful, blasphemers. They'd be unthankful, unholy. They'd be without natural affection. And all that means is we're seeing it in this day and age when men are trying to sleep with other women or with other men, and yet they're trying to sleep with other women too, but men are trying to sleep with men and women are trying to sleep with women. And here's the problem. They got truth breakers, false accusers, those who have no kind of self-control, people who despise the truth, those who are against those who do good, people who are heady and high-minded. They love more pleasure than they love God. And one of the biggest problems here is the supposed religious leaders happen to have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. Paul encourages us not to get involved with these particular practices, with these particular rituals. And in these perilous times, God is doing today what he did back when he sent the prophets to deliver his message. And once again, he's looking for a man or a woman who's literally going to stand in a gap, the man or the woman who's going to make up the hedge, the man or the woman who will repair the breach. There's a hole in the wall, my people. There's a hole in the wall that was literally designed to protect. If you understand how a wall works, and I know none of us are that dense about a wall, think about it. Why do you put up a fence around your yard? Why do you put up a wall around your property? It is for protection. Now, what are you protecting your property from? If you have a garden in your particular property and you want to keep your vegetables, you've got to put up some level of protection so the deer and the rabbits and whatever else is out there won't come and eat it up. Amen? Well, spiritually speaking, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, why are we not putting up a hedge of protection around our children? Why are we not putting up a hedge of protection around our families? Why are we turning around and allowing our people to just run rampant? And I'm not just talking to one person. I'm talking to anybody to whom, if the shoe fits, please take it off. God is asking, is there somebody who's going to stand up for rightness? Is there somebody who's going to stand up for righteousness? The fabric of the family seems to be torn in more places than we can allow. And God is not looking for somebody who wants to fit into the mold of the world. God is looking for a man or a woman who no longer has any desire to fit the mold that belongs to the world. God is looking for a man or a woman who is willing to take a stand against dishonest practices. God is looking for a man or woman who has integrity and wants to bring it around those who lack integrity. God is looking for a man who will not exchange their scruples and their morals for anything that falls short of what God's word says. God is calling for us who will cry out against injustice and oppression. A man or woman who's willing to stand in the gap through prayer and intercede, literally crying out on behalf of the people with the intent to seek God's face, that there would be a verdict of forthcoming judgment. If you pay close attention to verses 23 through 30, you'll notice a difference between the two types of individuals who were called to be leaders, whether it was civil, political, or spiritual. You have to understand something. The ungodly leader, and I'm just going to do this real quick because obviously I'm not going to finish it, so I'm going to get as far as I can. The ungodly leader violates, he oppresses, he destroys, he tears apart, he rips and shreds, he's selfish, he's self-centered, he's egotistical, it's all about him, and it doesn't matter what happens to other people. While the godly leader stands in the gap on behalf of the people, on behalf of the land, we're supposed to represent the voice of God to the people and present the people to God. We're supposed to serve as watchmen on the wall. We're supposed to be guides in the way of holiness. We're supposed to show them the right way of living. In our service to the Lord, we're supposed to set the example. You've heard me say it too many times before that we are walking epistles. God is supposed, people should see Christ in each and every one of us. But my question today is, what are they seeing? What are you showing them? And I'm talking to the body of Christ. I'm talking to the church today because we're in a day and age where we're too busy trying to look like the world, trying to act like the world. We're taking things that belong to the world and thinking we're drawing them to the cross of Christ. God don't need your gimmicks. God don't need your pirates. God don't need your light show. All God wants you to do is to preach the quick and powerful and sharp word. God wants you to preach the awesomeness of the word, the authority of the word, the authenticity of the word. God doesn't want anything else from you except you as a willing vessel to say yes to the Lord and yield yourself to him and allow him to speak through you. God wants to know who's willing to help repair the hole in the wall. Now I'm going to show you something. Both Isaiah and Ezekiel reveal traits that can prepare each and every one of us to be used by God to reconstruct damage and lives that seem like they have all but faded out. And the text that were read to you earlier and the two texts that I read to you today describes 10 basic traits that we can look for, what God is looking for. God, number one, is looking for somebody that's consecrated. What does it mean to be consecrated? It means to be set apart, to remain committed to the call, to make a decision that for God I will live and for God I will die. Somebody who is not going to set a substandard to the standard. You see, here's the problem right here. And I know in America we deal with I got to say it right because I ain't trying to offend nobody. It ain't about offending anybody. We have a dual practice here in America. And if you find out, go to the court systems, one particular set of people have to deal with the law in one way while another set of people is dealt with through the law in another way. I find it kind of ironic that if a woman is caught with a nickel bag or reefer, she gets a 10-year sentence, but a young man can kill 2 or 3 people and he's on parole in less than 2 years. What is wrong with that picture? Like it was back in that day, it is that day today. God is looking for someone who's going to be consecrated. God is looking for somebody who's going to be disciplined. They do what is right even if it's difficult. They understand that God is watching and they do not work for a man. They work as unto the Lord. They're making this decision in their life that I am going to be upright. I'm going to set the example. Let them laugh at you. Let them talk about you. Let them ridicule you. Let them drag your name in the dirt. But the bottom line is, are you worried about what man says about you, or are you more concerned with what God has to say about you? Now, if you're more concerned with what God has to say about you, you're on the right track. But if you're trying to please man, sir, ma'am, let me be the first to tell you, not only is man going to disappoint you, but they're going to walk away from you the first chance they get as soon as they find out that there's no more use for you. Get that in your mind. Now, who do you want to work for? The man and woman of God understand servanthood. They model a life of selflessness, not selfishness, selflessness. They do not live for material benefits for themselves. They live for the benefit of others. They understand what it means to give themselves away. And all that God has blessed them to obtain, they turn around and use it for the benefit of other people. And then you know people like that, whether it's in their city, their community, their state, their region. You know folks that would give you the shirt off your back. They'll turn around and make sure that you're well taken care of. Even when everybody else has turned their back on you, they're still encouraging you, telling you, come on, you're better than that. You can do better than that. And see, this is where we need to be. There's a hole in the wall. Who's willing to help fix it? We're calling right wrong and wrong right. What's wrong with that picture? Why is all of a sudden right wrong and wrong right? I'll tell you why. Because of the depravity of man, we want to do it our way. We're not happy unless it pleases us. We don't forget about the one who created us. And then a lot of them forgot the fact that as sure as you are born, you are going to die. The question is, where are you going to be when you leave the face of this earth? Where are you going to spend eternity? And don't think for 35 seconds that God is not going to go back over your life. God won't even have to judge you, because think about this. He's going to open the books, and in those books, it's going to be sort of kind of like a movie theater. You get to see your life from birth to death. You'll see everywhere where you cheated, mistreated, lied, corrupted, scandalized, and all the crazy stuff. Then, for those of you who are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and fire baptized, you'll see when the blood wipes all of it out. That's a beautiful thing. Now, there may be a couple of spots here and there, but then here comes the blood, wiping it all out. All right? Next thing, vision, 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 vision. As a man or woman of God, we have to see what God sees. We have to live off the power of potential, trusting God to help us to execute whatever is needed to fulfill the vision that God has given to us. Now, I know here at Power to Stand, I mean, I bless God for the very fact He got us started. When we first got started, they came in and we had this many people, and people have come and people have gone, and that's fine, because that happens in every church. And then sometimes I walk in here and I say, God, Why don't I just move on? God says, you'll move when I tell you to move. So now I'm finding that if I got to be patient, I'm encouraging you in the sanctuary, be patient. God's getting ready to do it. God's getting ready to do it. I'll say it again. God's getting ready to do it. Y'all didn't hear me. Let me say it one more time. God's getting ready to do it. God's getting ready to do it. But He has to prepare us, because those that are coming, they're not coming in here all fixed and churchy and up in the air and speaking the word. They're coming in broken. They're coming in battered. They're coming in bruised. They're coming in bound. They're coming in confused. And if they're all that, you can't be any of that. If they're all that, you can't be any of that. That's why it behooves you to show up for Bible study so you can learn how to grow in the Lord. That's why it behooves you to come to services so that we can learn how to fellowship. Because I'll be honest with you, I've been to churches where I walked in the door, and I'm talking about as a minister. I don't visit churches now. Since coming to the bishopric, it's kind of difficult, because you always got to let these pastors know you're coming ahead of time. So rather than go through all that red tape, let it sit for a minute. But if they invite me, that's another story. But I've gone to churches where you walk in, you would think that the greeters at the door, God bless you, how you doing? Welcome to such and such a fellowship. They walk and look at you, and go on, walk about, go wherever they go. What kind of nonsense is that? If I had to judge that church by the greeter or the person I met at the door, I won't be back at that church no time soon. There's a hole in the wall. Who's willing to help fix it? Got to ask that question. Compassion. Oh, Lord, help us, Jesus. Compassion. How is it that we don't understand what it means to have a love for what we've been called to and the people whom God has called us to? How is it that we don't understand what it means to seek and meet the need with a heart of mercy and love toward those whom they have been assigned to serve? What is it with us? Why do we not have compassion? And I'm guilty of this, and I'm learning, you know, I have to repent and have to change. Sometimes I would judge a book by its cover before I ever read the content. I have no idea what that individual is going through, what they've been through, what they've dealt with, how difficult life has been for them. And yet I'm saying, she needs to go to jail. She needs to go here. He needs to go. No, that ain't my job. I got to ask for my Father's eyes. I got to see them as God sees them. If I can't see them how my Father, and my sister said something the other day, we were in the car. And, I'm not going to get into the details of the story, but I made a comment. I said, and I'm going to tell you the comment I made without telling you the story. I said, this individual, I hope their business fails. What kind of nonsense is that? You don't want somebody to fail, but you do want them to see the truth of what's going on. We do that sometimes. Yeah, I do it. Hello? I do it. Do I need to go stand right in front of the camera? Hello? I do it sometimes. And you do it too. Some of you on TikTok, Facebook, where you are, you have pointed so many fingers, back so many pastors, tore down so many church members because of something you saw, and you wanted to actually judge them, not knowing what the situation is. Close your mouth. You ain't that much better. If somebody opens the door to the closet of your personal life, there'd be some skeletons falling out there, and you would sit there and say, wait a minute. Let me get that alone. I'm meddling now, ain't I? It's the truth, though. Anyway, I'm almost finished. We have to develop trustworthiness. If you are going to fix the hole in the wall, you have got to be trustworthy. You've got to learn to keep your word, regardless of what other people do. Integrity is an issue, especially in the body of Christ. Integrity would be another descriptive word to use in understanding what it is God wants from us. And if you ain't got integrity, if you don't have morals, if you don't have scruples, you don't have much of anything. The other thing, you've got to be decisive. Make good decisions in a timely manner. Now, again, I got to raise my hand because in certain things, I have a level. My wife will attest to this. I'm procrastinatory in certain areas. I wait to the last minute. I'm learning how to get better with time. And I'm talking about myself. See, if I can't be transparent, how can I tell you something if I'm not going to do it? I got to be transparent. No, I don't dot every I. No, I don't cross every T. I don't make a crooked letter real good. What do you call that, J or the S? It's the S. It's the crooked letter, right? Yeah, S. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I ain't that great, but you know what? I'm not willing to accept where I am. I'm willing to do what it takes to get better. I want to say you've got to have some passion. You've got to have enthusiasm. See, I would say this in any church. If you want to see your church grow, be excited about the ministry that you're in. If you don't get excited about the ministry you're in, I don't want to ask the question, why are you there? You know why you're there. Why are you not excited about the ministry that you're in? Ah, you should come to visit our church. God is doing great things. We're growing you. Well, I only see you got 20 people in the place. It ain't about the numbers. It's about what the Father in heaven is doing. We now are getting on a more consistent level, and I have to say this because it's important. We got to start bringing our prayer list to church so we can call out the names of those who are on our prayer wall, on our website. Because we ask them to call in. Some of them have come on the prayer line. Some of them have come with testimonies of how they've sent, their prayer request into our prayer line, and God has answered their prayer. This is what it's all about. I don't have to know you to minister to you. I don't have to see you face to face physically to know what it is that God wants to do in, with, and through you. Two more things, and I'm going to call it quits for a day. Courageousness. If you're going to help fix the hole in the wall, you can't be crazy scared. You can't be, you're going to come up against things. Let me help you out with something. In this world, in this day and age, there are 350 categories of religious organizations. Over, I think, 20,000 different types of religions. You're going to run across these people every day somewhere, somehow. And when they sit there and they want to argue with you, I'm not telling you to argue with them. You try to share with them what God has shared with you, and if they're not listening, just politely move on. But you can't be a chicken about this thing. Yeah, I said you can't be a chicken. How are you going to get in church, shout all day, and then when you get out there in the world, you just as... Are you a Christian?
I go to church.
Jesus himself said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. That would be like me and my wife going somewhere, and all the time at home, I'm all lovey-dovey, and hi, baby, and all this kind of stuff. And then we get out in public. I don't know who that woman is. What kind of madness is that? You sleep next to her every night. I do. I want to get clear, okay? Don't get no stupid ideas either. Anyway, the bottom line is I see her every day. Sleep with her every night. And then I'm going to get in public and act like she don't exist. Some of you brothers are doing that. It's almost as if you're ashamed of your spouse. Why did you marry her? Why did you marry her? I believe the vow said for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. You may not have everything you want. You may not have everything you need. But women, walk alongside your husband. God has given him the vision. And if he's a godly man, sister, girl, you are erasing yourself from the benefit of that man of God. Yes, there's a benefit to it. You better walk with him. Because remember this, and it's a saying in the world, y'all heard it before, divorce still does happen. And that little saying in the world simply says, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Y'all heard that before, right? Amen? Don't act like y'all so super easy. I'm dealing with super deep sense in here, y'all, so y'all got to excuse me, okay? Let me talk to the folk out there that's in TV land, wherever you are. One man's trash is another man's treasure. You better turn around. God blessed you with that woman. She has helped you get back on your feet. She has helped you to maintain and sustain the vision that God has given you. And now in an hour when she needs you, you're going to walk away from her. What are you, some kind of crazy? Let me use a better word. What are you, some kind of stupid? Yeah, I said it. And that ain't disrespectful. That's just simply said. When God puts somebody in your life that's there to work with you and walk with you and be a blessing to you, and you walk away from them, that's stupid. End of story. Last one I'm going to throw out there is wisdom. We've got to allow ourselves to think like God thinks to avoid those crazy moves, meaning we don't want to do something carelessly. We don't want to do things with no consideration. We don't want to do things that's going to cause us to shipwreck our faith and to cause other people to shipwreck. Wisdom, the Bible says, is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom in all thy getting, get understanding. And when it tells you to get understanding, in order to get understanding, you have to first obtain knowledge. When you obtain knowledge and you understand knowledge, now you are producing wisdom. And don't produce the wisdom of the world, because you can go to Google, Wikipedia, any of these places, and you can get all kinds of information. And just because that information is there does not mean that that information is correct. You got to understand something. And I'm talking to my African-American brothers and sisters right now. A lot of quote-unquote black history has been hidden from us and is now coming to the surface. Let me help you understand this. As there's a saying, cream always rises to the top. Some things you can hide, and there are some things, I don't care how deep you bury it, if it doesn't come up this end, it's coming up the other end. But somebody's going to know about it. So in getting wisdom, get understanding, and all that getting, You got to understand it. All I get is get understanding. But before you can get understanding, you have to have knowledge. And if you understand knowledge, you'll understand to how to use that knowledge and apply that knowledge to everyday living. If we are going to help fix the hole in the wall concerning the family, we have to do it in a wise, tactful fashion. I do realize that we are dealing with loved ones who want to change their gender. We're dealing with loved ones who think they're bisexual. We're dealing with loved ones who think they're lesbians. We're dealing with loved ones who think they're trans. We're dealing with loved ones who are trying to live an alternative lifestyle, and to beat them down, come on, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. That's not the way to handle them. You love them for the person they are, but you make them aware of the fact that God is not pleased with the lifestyle. And you leave it to them to make a decision. Okay? Because at the end of the day, mother, father, sister, brother, whoever you are, when they really need to sit down and talk, do you think they're going to see a psychiatrist? They're coming to see you. Why? Because you built a level of trust with them, some confidence. You were courageous enough to tell them the truth. You put yourself in a position where you wanted them to understand that what it is that they are dealing with, what it is that they are going through, you know, you may not be pleased with it, but at the same time, make them understand that I am here for you. I sought for a man to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge, but I found one. Then I heard the Lord say, whom shall we send? Who will go for us? We ought to be telling God, here am I. Send me. I'll go. But now I just told you, if you're going to go, there's some things you got to do. First one I said was what? Consecrated? Is that the first one I said? Did I say discipline? Learn what servitude is, what it means to be a servant of the Most High. Understand the vision. Write the vision. And it's pretty plain and simple. Write the vision. Make it plain that those who read it shall be able to run with it. Have compassion. Be trustworthy. Be decisive. Have wisdom. Be courageous. And have passion about what you do. The breach will be repaired. You can keep these 10 things in mind. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. If there's anyone who has not received and accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, I need you to understand three real quick things. A, number one, God loves you. Number two, Christ died for you. Number three, you can become a part of the family of God. How does that happen? You have to first acknowledge the fact that you are, in fact, a sinner. Without Christ, you're still a sinner. If you've not accepted Jesus as Lord of your life, you're still a sinner. I don't care how good you are, how many good deeds you do, how many great things you do, how much money you give to the church. The truth of the matter is you fail to receive and accept God's salvation plan. End of story. People are not going to hell for being robbers, for being rapists, for being murderers and things of that nature. They're on their way to hell because they refuse to accept God's plan of salvation, and they left this earth without having the blessed assurance that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. Acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner. Number two, believe that God sent his son to die for your sins. We're not ready to quit yet, brother, but he's getting ready. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Last but by no means least, receive and accept Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. It's that simple. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 12 can tell you the whole story. We thank God for every one of you coming in and joining us. We bless God. And as our dear sister, Nina Taylor, gives you final instructions, we pray that you'll join us every Wednesday for our Bible study. We look forward to seeing you. We are still in the book, Survival Kit. We're talking about spiritual growth. Join us Wednesday. We start prayer at 7 o'clock and Bible study at 7:30. Until that time, I'm Bishop Ernest D. Richard for the family here at Power to Stand. May God's peace continuously be with you. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If this ministry has been a blessing to you,